WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Orlando this evening. The first flight of evacuees from Haiti, 14 of them, including children, has landed. CBS's Linda Kenyon says the White House is closely monitoring the situation in Haiti as gang violence threatens to take over the capital city.
White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says a do-not-travel alert to Haiti has been in place for Americans since 2020. Now that hundreds of gangs threaten to collapse the central government in Haiti, Admiral Kirby says the U.S. cannot guarantee that all American citizens can be evacuated. Speaking on Air Force One as President Biden was traveling from Arizona to Texas, Kirby said some Americans have been evacuated via helicopter, including one flight that landed in the Dominican Republic. He said more flights are possible in the coming days, but only as circumstances permit. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The EPA is rolling out new pollution standards for passenger cars. The tailpipe emissions rules are aimed at fighting climate change and will apply to all new vehicles, starting with model year 2027 through 2032. CBS's Dave Malkoff has more from a dealership in Smyrna, Georgia.
This is all about reducing emissions and, by that measure, slowing climate change. Transportation is about 28% of all U.S. emissions.
Police in Idaho are searching for an inmate and the person who helped him escape from a Boise hospital overnight. Three corrections officers were ambushed. Police Chief Ron Weiniger.
A preliminary investigation indicates that Meade and the shooting suspect got into a gray four-door sedan, possibly a Honda Civic, and fled the area just prior to Boise police officers arriving.
Authorities say two corrections officers were shot in the attack and a third appears to have been mistakenly shot by responding Boise officers. All are expected to survive. New York Attorney General Letitia James has told an appeals court not to let former President Donald Trump get out of paying more than $450 million for fraud. CBS's Nicole Killian on what could happen if the former president doesn't have the cash.
We will have to see exactly how things play out, whether or not he will be able to come up with this money in time before next Monday. But certainly the seizure option is one that is a very real threat.
Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and close friend has been fired by the Dodgers after allegations of illegal gambling and massive theft from the Japanese baseball star. Interpreter Ipe Mizuhara was let go from the team today following reports from the Los Angeles Times and ESPN about his alleged ties to an illegal bookmaker. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official has been found guilty of election fraud when she used fake names to get multiple military absentee ballots. A jury found Kimberly Zabata guilty on Wednesday. They rejected claims by her attorney that she's a whistleblower exposing gaps in the state's voting system. She was basing those assumptions on proven false conspiracy theories stemming from the 2020 presidential election. She could go to prison for up to 5 years. Wisconsin is set to get new electric vehicle charging stations. Governor Evers signed a duo of bills making it easier for gas stations to open the charging stations and sending nearly $80 million federal dollars to help build them. The funding is designed to build vehicle chargers that can fully charge a car in less than an hour. The funding will support building 65 charging stations across the state. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers are headed to Brooklyn. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers on their way to New York, where they'll play James Madison University at the Barclays Center, home of the Brooklyn Nets, for their first game in the NCAA tournament. The tip-off time, 8:40 Central, 9:40 on the East Coast. Any concern about the players adjusting to the late start? Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
They'll be up bouncing around anyway. I mean, they're going to watch 3 days of games before it's our game day, so these guys would be ready to play, whether it was maybe not 6 a.m., but I don't know how many of them are early risers, but we'll adjust. And it's nothing different than how we played through all the year with the different TV times.
Marquette plays Friday afternoon at the same arena. NBA, big game for the Bucks tonight. They're in Boston to take on the first place Celtics. Milwaukee 10 games behind them in the standings. Baseball, Brewers with another win in spring training, 8-5 over the Cleveland Guardians. They host the Giants tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, lower 20s in the overnight with light north to northwest winds. Clouds in mid-30s on Thursday. Winter weather advisory in effect for Thursday night into Friday. 3 to 5 inches of snowfall by Friday morning. Lows in the middle 20s. It's 24 at our studios.
Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, Joe Zepecki, and we mark one last week till the Brewers opener.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. As you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, they are, Dega. And this half of the show is in partnership with Little Moments Count. And, you know, we're excited to partner with Little Moments Count and bring on experts in early childhood development. And Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative that focuses on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Absolutely. And for more information, you can visit at littlemomentscount.org. That's littlemomentscount.org. And it's been a great, three years, Haley, partnership with Little Moments Count. And we have a guest on. And tonight we're really excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count. And, you know, we host these conversations on early childhood development and bring guests on, to see what they have to say about child development and creating bright futures and strong communities. And tonight we have Kim Lage, an enrolled member of White Earth Reservation, along with her siblings, were born and raised traditional grandmother in a community full of relatives. Kim has four grown children and resides and currently outside the White Earth Reservation. Kim has worked with child care development, early child care program for over 20 years. And we are really excited just to have a great conversation with Kim. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Anin Bushu from Gawabagalikug. Thank you so much for having me, and certainly appreciate this evening's sponsor, Little Moments Count. So miigwech to them.
Absolutely. Hey, let's jump right into this because, Kim, these segments fly by, but I have a couple questions that I'd love to ask you. And again, big thank you and Pini Gigi for being on. You know, as someone deeply involved in early childhood development programs for over 20 years, what are your key insights you've gained about the significance of early experiences on brain development, especially during those critical years up to age three that we talk about?
Yes. Very, very key moments in a child's life, and as in our teachings of our people, is that we teach that our children come from the Creator. They come with wisdom and knowledge, and that we should look to our children, that we can be everything we can to them to guide them in the paths that they will go and be the continuance of our people. So I get so excited about the reasoning behind how the conference came to us here was that we had people that were hungry for that news. And we started to hear a little bit about, you know, brain development, the importance of brain development. And that really then triggered us to say, you know what, we don't hear as much in our communities because we're rural. And we need to bring that attention here and get other people involved and also excited to hear that these are wonderful things because our children are such gifts.
Yeah, definitely. And talking about brain development, and do you think it's a newer thing in the last 20 years that you've been experienced, or is it something that you 20 years ago you kind of jumped in and people knew that the first 3 years were so, so important?
Yes, those formative years are very important, especially the attachment and just the nurturing that a child needs to help that brain function. We know as in anything, if stress enters, it can disrupt the brain development. It's those neural connections that we want to make sure that are strong. And that is really embedded in them to be nurtured and to be guided. And just knowing that that brain was like, wow, is now we have attention to it. That this is a functioning part of the body, not just our five senses, but that brain also. And so we got so excited about that, that we decided that is a conference, trainings, anything that we touch on. It leads back to the importance of that early formative years of those children.
It's almost like developing a muscle when you talk about, you know, trauma can affect it. But if you're working hard and strengthening and learning and reading to your kids early on, it really helps connect those neurons.
Correct. And that is something that in the region of the brain, the frontal cortex, I often refer to it as like a screen door. It's there. It lets things in, but it lets things out also. Mm. And so we think about all the research that has gone in these 20 plus years, because it really started becoming a hot ticketed item to hear more about brain development in the last 25 years. And I thought, you know, in my small world of non-education in brain development, but hearing and understanding it, I thought, you know, it's so important that we see this stage of development up through those early years of adolescence. And that's what brain research is telling us. That part of the brain is still being developed in their early 20s. And like a screen door, things are coming in, but things are also going out.
Yeah, definitely.
So we want to build those neural networks as strong as possible. And that does come with a lot of tender, loving care and nurturing for our children.
Well, also, you being a citizen of White Earth, your culture background and upbringing, it has to deal with your approach with early childhood development for our Native kids.
Correct. It was one of those things. I was raised in a household of a grandmother, several old uncles, but they were all loving and caring and deeply passionate about the future. And that was me. That was my siblings. That was my grandmother's grandchildren, her children. And you know, as in any community, there's derailments. We know that. But she gave me that hope when I was very young that I had possibilities. And that was all connected to the culture. And that was, you know, the significance of learning about what nature has to offer us. And now here we are in today's society talking more about getting our children back to nature and how important that is for that brain development. And I think about that as my grandmother and my uncles took me out many a time when I was a child, and just introduced me to nature and what it had to teach. And so I think about that as being one of those factors that does help a child in regulation of their emotions. And so we need to pay attention to that part of the research in brain development.
So that would be called kind of the holistic approach for the native children? Is that what you're kind of explaining there?
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, we teach so much through all of what we have been given as gifts, and that is a gift.
Yeah, I don't think we as citizens here in the cities have our feet, bare feet in the Mother Earth enough, and just those little things really do matter in everybody's growth and everyone's serenity. So, hey, we're here with Kim Lage, and we are talking early development and really having a great conversation, but we got to take a quick break. Haley, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This half of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. And being a former early childhood educator myself, I know that nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days of life. So that's why we know like little things like talking and playing and reading and singing just help create those pathways that just set the child up for a better future.
Right. And for more information, you can visit at littlemomentscount.org. And hey, we're here with Kim Lage, and she is talking about her 20 years of experience with child care and early development. And we are having an awesome conversation. Welcome back, Kim. And let's keep going here. These segments just go really fast here, and we're really excited to have you on here. We were kind of talking about the holistic approach in the first 3 years and how important it is. And can you share with us the genesis of Brain Development Community Collaborative Conference and what inspired its formation?
That comes with a unique story. and you may have had this speaker on before too, Barb Faber. And she had been in my early years the director of the child care program. And so her and I together had attended a CCDF regional meeting in Chicago. And we were sitting there and they had a speaker, Dr. Kathy Grace is her name. And this woman got up and she started talking about the structure of the brain, all the happenings in the brain. And I was just in awe of, wow, this is something that really needs to be heard by a lot of people. And we think about the early childhood teachers and childcare providers. Everyone from our bus drivers to our principals need to hear this kind of information. And so Dr. Kathy Grace, I approached her. Barb said, go up to her and just ask her. So I went up to Dr. Kathy Grace and I said, you know, we really, really want to hear more on this. And we invited her and she was our first speaker. And we put her on stage with several other keynote speakers that talked passionately and informatively about the structure of the brain, about the influences, and about the richness of culture, how culture does impact the child's development. So, and we brought together some wonderful speakers over the years, and we had everything from local people in our mental health, our early childhood, speak on matters that were very important to them about child development. We've had Dr. Bruce Perry speaking on the adverse effects of trauma on the brain. And that was phenomenal speaking. And so I think about all these speakers in the beginning that help us dive even deeper into what was brain development and how important it was in those early years. And that just kind of snowballed from 1 year to the next. And pretty soon we got to our 20th anniversary, and we were putting on the 20th one. And you wonder, where did those 20 years go? But it was very, very so important to me to hear that and know that people were anxious to hear that and very hungry to hear that. Mm-hmm. And so we had a slight interruption for, you know, the nation's shutdown. But yeah, here we are back again and hoping to get back on track with the speakers. We have a lot of great speakers returning and new speakers coming in with new information. And so it will be a fun and exciting time. And we just hope more people are able to get back on track for that conference, because like we've been out now for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. So that was a start, and that is not the end.
Right on. Good for you, and great, great information. What other milestones and achievements are you proud of with this 20-year history?
Yeah. You know, it really starts to show, and that when you see these young people and they look so familiar, and then you realize, oh, they were one of our children in our child care centers, in our family child cares, and they're all grown. And they remember you. That's mm-hmm. that's it. They remember the good things that happened in child care while they were there. You know, all the books we used to read. We used to do a reading library, mobile library, and I used to do that for the kids. I'd stop at each of the sites and read books, and especially culturally rich books and just significance of the importance of culture and how we touch on it, whether it be in storytelling, in traditional storytelling, or we read it from a book. But it's so important for us to find our strengths in our culture. And that's one of those things where I like to say we are working really hard at bringing back language, but understanding the importance of our culture for our young children. So anyhow, those books, experiences, we do a lot of community outreach. We do a lot of activities with our kids, helping them to know about what is this, you know, when we're talking about, you know, them developing to their fullest potential. And it's just exciting things that we are, you know, constantly looking for opportunities to be in our community, to demonstrate and to share knowledge of brain development, of social emotional development, cognitive development, child's development that is natural. It is natural. We don't need to fight against it. We need to embrace it and hear more from our children, because they have a lot of wisdom to share for us.
Exactly. And I can feel your excitement of seeing, I guess you'd kind of call them alumni, people that have gone through your program that are all grown up now, and seeing them thriving and remembering the stories and remembering you. That's huge, and that's gratifying, but it also shows how your program's really working too.
We always say the child's first teacher in their life is their parent. But knowing too that if they are in a child care situation, it may be their grandmother, auntie, uncle, but it's also a licensed child care centers, family child cares that we have our little ones in. And I'm happy because of the job that I do. I get to go see those kids every day, almost every day, and interact with them. And it's so much fun because they all run up to me and, "Hi, Grandma." Oh. And
First of all, that's very cute. And second of all, I believe that that's the way it should be. So kudos to you, Kim. Really, that's Haley, do you have anything? I'm getting a little emotional here.
I just want to mention just the importance of being around other kids, no matter like what age your kid is, especially in those first few years of life. I mean, just the social and the communication, just being around kids their age that, you know, they're learning rules and societal norms, just, you know, the behavior things. And yeah, it's just so important, because I think a lot of us don't really remember, you know, maybe those first few, our first year of life or our second year, but I've, you know, those experiences that we're in and the environment that we're in really does shape whether or not what we think about ourselves, how we view the world and how we grow up and what, you know, just the way that you think. And it just really affects it. And I just,
Laying the foundation. It's really laying the foundation for what we build upon. And again, the brain is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And just knowing that, man, that is networks that are happening even to this day at my age, and that we can channel to other sites in our brain to learn something new. And sometimes that, you know, we say to learn something new is a struggle. But if you start putting that with a hands-on type activity, you find children just thrive, because that is right there is the stage of development they are in, that tactile. And they want to do those activities that help, you know, play, you know, with blocks, or are they painting with their hands, or they're scribbling on walls.
And
that's okay, because that's part of development. Their brain is saying, do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, having a positive brain development is so much, obviously so much better than trauma, because you remember both, and they're both deeply embedded, the good and bad. And to have more organizations like what you're doing and Little Moments Count, really, I just have to commend you. And it truly, the children are our future, and you sound like a great auntie, and we really appreciate you and appreciate you being on today. You're muted, Kim.
Oh, Miigwech. I'd gladly be anyone's grandmother, auntie, sister, whatever is needed, because that is truly who I am. I take that role very important.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being on, and it really has come through the microphone, and the radio here that that is who you truly are. So really, big Pina Gigi for coming on. Very, very, very emotional first part of the show. I really appreciate it, Kim. All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake. Ho-wa!
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The first plane of evacuees from violence-torn Haiti has arrived in Orlando, Florida. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel.
Our hope is to keep these options available for American citizens who need it, and the feasibility and the assessment of that work is going to be ongoing.
The EPA says new pollution standards for cars and light trucks will eliminate more than 7 billion tons of carbon emissions. EPA Administrator Michael Regan.
We are paving the way for a future where all people have access to clean air, clean water, and the opportunity to live a healthy and fulfilling life.
Three Boise, Idaho corrections officers in charge of an inmate at a hospital are attacked, and Police Chief Ron Weiniger says they're searching for the inmate and his accomplice.
As they were preparing to leave to transport me back to the Idaho Department of Corrections facility, an unknown at this time suspect attacked and fired at the officers, striking two of them.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A pair of audits show about three-fourths of workspaces in state office buildings are empty as many as 5 days a week. A panel of state lawmakers pressed leaders from the Department of Administration and the Universities of Wisconsin about their work-from-home policies. State Representative Bob Wicke says the state has invested billions of dollars in office space. He questions why it should go unused. Wisconsin is eligible for up to $30 million in federal money for high-speed internet in underserved areas. It would be a boon for rural communities, where the population is getting older.
At least 15% of people 50-plus in Wisconsin are not connected because the wires simply don't come to their house, or they don't have a device, or they don't know how to use it.
Martha Cranley is with AARP Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, lower 20s in the overnight with light north to northwest winds. Clouds in mid-30s on Thursday. Winter weather advisory in effect for Thursday night into Friday. 3 to 5 inches of snowfall by Friday morning. Lows in the middle 20s. Currently 23 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Blake from Red Lake. I always love saying that. And we're here with Solar Bear with the Solar News. Hey, welcome, Robert.
Hey, great to be here, Robert and Haley. I'm joining you from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm at the River Spirit Casino. There is the Tribal Energy Equity Summit happening here in Oklahoma. And we have our relatives, we have tribal citizens from all over the country that have been here this week. And we have had some great workshops, and we've had federal participation by the U.S. Treasury, Department of Energy Loan Programs Office, and just a lot of really good people that are doing work around Turtle Island to get all these tribal nations renewable energy. It's just really awesome to be here right now. It's great.
Bob, it's interesting. You must be really working hard because you sound a little sleepy today.
I am going on, 4 days straight here on this now. And, it is, but there's like so much, Robert. It's like so much to take in. Everybody is doing so. I mean, I didn't even know half the stuff was happening that's happening tribal country right now is happening. And I got to meet so many good people that are doing work, partnerships, and so much is going on that I hate to like miss like a minute of all the action.
Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you something before we get more into the Solar Bear with the Solar News. I don't know if you have a comment about this, but your tribe, Red Lake, I heard the report that your tribal chairman has doubled down on tribal lands and wants to really return all of Upper Red Lake plus a buffer of land surrounding the area. And I just have to say land back to that and right on Red Lake.
Yeah. So what happened was there was a guy named Rice County. Everyone it's named after him. He was this attorney guy. This isn't news, but a lot of in the way that they did these agreements back then were done by people that, had like an affiliation or had like an in with, Native tribes. We'll just say that, things weren't done, very upfront. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when the agreement came between, the Chiefs, when they signed the agreement, there was no, you know, the map got switched. So the not the switch, but the but the upper half of Upper Red Lake got cut off, and and the Chiefs said that we'll do this agreement, but you can't touch the lake. That's what was the agreement. You can't touch the lake. And what's so funny about that is, I'm not funny, but what's so interesting about that is that why would these Chiefs agree? You know, first of all, say that nothing touches the lake, because that's where they fish. That's where they get their water from. It's, you know, the source of life. And then all of a sudden this map gets to Washington and half of the lake is cut off, you know? Yeah. And so, that is what was basically in contention. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're basically saying now, hey, listen, you know, why would these people agree? First of all, tell you that nothing is supposed to, the lake is not in the agreement. It's all theirs. And all of a sudden now, this agreement gets to Washington and half the upper lake is cut off, you know, after exactly. They just explained to you in the agreement that we're you're not going to touch us. So it's really interesting, because I think this Rice guy didn't know that, you know, these other documents were around. And so that's really what's in contention, right? Is what we're saying is, you know, why would these people agree on something that they said that they weren't going to agree on? And then it all of a sudden the map changes when it gets to Washington, and that's what you people go by. That is wrong.
And that's, you know what I mean? And that's what your leader said. He said, people that live on the East, it's not our fault. It's the state of Minnesota and the United States government that tried to steal the land, and you visitors understand that.
Yeah, yeah, they did. That's exactly what Rice did. He redid the map. And what's sad about that is that only didn't happen to Red Lake. That happened to tribes, other tribes too. Mm-hmm. And so you know, there was actually so I just want to let everyone know that this isn't the first time that this has come up. This has come up plenty of times through the years. And this has always been kind of, I don't know, what do you think, like a thorn or, you know, on the side of Red Lake, that they've always been arguing this case, you know, for 32 years, but it's not, but now it's getting legal attention.
32,000 acres is a lot of acres to be stealing. And I applaud Red Lake, and they're also looking to get back some land in North Dakota too. So again, it's land back time, and it's a beautiful thing. And kudos to your nation, Red Lake.
Yeah, and remember, everyone too that's listening to this too. I mean, you know, like I can trace like my great grandfather from my mom's side who signed those treaties, right? I can trace my bloodline back that far. Well, I mean, the other point about this, everyone, is that remember that when these individuals were signing these agreements, they had Gatling guns pointed at them. Right. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like, you know, hey, you better, you know, oh, you know, this is all in good, you know, good, you know, good,
kumbaya,
good, you know, good relationship here. You know, there were Gatling guns at this. And that's why when it was one of the Chiefs, and I can't remember his name. I can see his name, but I can't pronounce it. He said that, you know, this is our children's land and our grandchildren's land and their land in time immemorial. Yes. And it, you know, we cannot give. And this individual, this person, stood up and said that while looking at Gatling guns, everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what does that kind of take? You know, so I mean, I'm sorry, Robert, but even on Bob Blake from Red Lake's worst day, you know, I don't think I faced anywhere near the type of, you know, problems that, you know, these folks faced when having to make these big, really huge decisions, right, in these negotiations. So now, Robert, now we have this ability where we actually have, administration, government officials listening to us. But we've been making this argument for years. So that's what I think everyone needs to know. This isn't the first time Red Lake has argued this. You know, this isn't the first time that we've raised our hand and said, this is wrong. You know what I mean? Like, look at this. This doesn't make sense. Why would these people make this agreement with all of you? And then all of a sudden, half of the boundaries are cut off. It didn't make sense to us in 1900 or, you know, back in
1899, I think it was when the.
Yep. 1920, they started arguing it. 1940, it continued. 1970, it continued, and all the way now to 2023, it's still 2024. It still isn't right.
Right. Well, you know, and we talk about this a lot, Robert, you and I, in the Native Roots Radio show guests, is that they're getting people to listen now in government, and that's why it's so important to have this trifecta of Democrats that will at least listen. And hopefully move forward, where if the Republicans were in office, we would not get any chair at the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And then through the years, you know, there was always this like, okay, well, Red Lake will listen to you if you do this and if you do that. And Red Lake has always been, no, it's not right. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to just stick to this. And, you know, I admire these folks for sticking to their convictions. I mean, you know, and you see this across Native country, right? Like, I mean, even with the Pine Ridge in the Black Hills, you know, like and I think, you know, the federal government and other non-Native people will say, well, you know, is it that big of a deal? No, it's not that big of a deal to you, but it's a principal issue to us. You know what I mean? And I think that sometimes that gets lost in translation.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we got a minute left here, Bob, and we still have to get to Solar Bear with the Solar News, and I know you got a couple updates at the very least. What's going on? Where you're at? So why don't we take a quick break and get into that? Thanks for conversing with me about Red Lake.
Yeah, sounds right good. On.
Hey, for you people on the radio, Bob gave me a thumbs up. So that means, yes, we'll be right back after this short break with Bob Blake from Red Lake, Solar Bear with the Solar News. Oh,
the city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Howl.
Oh!
Right on. Hey, we have Bob Blake from Red Lake, the owner of Solar Bearer and Native Sun, the nonprofit organization that he oversees. And we are going to talk a little bit about Solar Bearer with Solar News. Welcome back, Robert.
Hey, good to be here with all of you, everyone. I am coming to you from Tulsa, Oklahoma, the River Spirit Casino, home of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And it is absolutely beautiful here, Robert. It's incredible. This place is just immaculate. And I just want to say miigwech to the Muscogee Creek Nation for all of their hospitality. I you should see this room they gave me. Oh my, it's incredible. And I want to say too, like, this happened to me out in Washington with the Umatilla tribe. I mean, they gave me the Frank Sinatra suite. I swear, there's like a piano. I mean, I'm like, I don't think you guys need to do this. And so it's really cool coming across everyone and them knowing Solar Bearer and knowing the work. And I'm so honored and to be able to have this little recognition across Turtle Island with all of our relatives, Robert. It truly is an honor.
It looks like you got new swag, too. I see that baseball cap. I'm kind of liking that. Looking good on you.
Yeah, I had to get some new swag to come down here to the conference. And like I said, there's so many good things happening. But one thing I want to talk about, Robert, and you know that the Solar Bearer with the Solar News is, you know, talking a lot about renewable energy and that kind of stuff. But I want to talk about an environmental justice situation that's currently kind of happening and will become, I think, more of an issue in the future. And it's about carbon pipelines and essentially basically carbon capture and big carbon capture machines that are basically going to suck the carbon out of the air and put it back into the ground is what they're theorizing or what they want to do. I'm not saying theorizing, they're actually doing this. But that's essentially what they want to do. But they want to create these carbon pipelines, almost like oil pipelines everywhere, and do this work. And, you know, Robert, I'm, you know, the Solar Bearer with the Solar News is just going to tell you the truth, everyone. And I'm just saying, why don't we just plant more trees? I mean, you know, and so currently right now there is a lot going on in the space. And in both South Dakota, North Dakota, in the Midwest, in Minnesota, and Iowa, they're planning on building these big carbon pipelines. And I'm just telling everybody right now, I think it's all just a bunch of BS, everyone. And I really think that, you know, you should really let your legislatures and everyone know that this seems like a waste of time to me. You know, why don't we just put our money into, like I said, building more trees or planting more trees. And not only that though, but like, if we need to put some money towards infrastructure, like how about substations, you know, transmission lines, that can carry more renewable energy and solar to our communities. Like those are the things that we need to really invest in. You know what I mean? So these carbon pipelines, everyone, I'm so sorry, but and you could totally agree with me, audience, and you may not disagree with me. This is just one person's opinion. This is just Solar Bearer's opinion. I think this is a hustle. I really, really do firmly believe that this is a hustle, everyone.
Well, you know what? I just read on the TikTok or heard on the TikTok because, you know, I'm addicted to the TikTok at night before I go to bed, that there really was a Johnny Appleseed. This was a real person that went around. It has a little dark side of the story because it has to do with taxes and fruit trees and things like that. But there really was a Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing, right? Like, I mean, they're like these stories originate somewhere, right? There's some type of history with these stories, and like I said, I mean, you know, I think that this is really interesting, and I think it's going to become an issue in the future, and I just want everyone to know that, you know, we have these things that suck carbon out of the air. Right, and store it, and they're called trees. And the nice thing about these trees is they produce, like, you know, oxygen for us to breathe. So,
yeah. They also produce other trees too if you let them.
Exactly, they have this whole network. So everyone, please, why don't we do what we know that what nature already knows works, and let's just do that. So that's my opinion about that. Anyways,
hand some squirrels some nuts so they can bury them and plant some trees. That's what I say. Oh, wow.
Exactly. Also another interesting story too, that just came out, Toyota, the Toyota company is on the verge of, a new, sort of solid, state battery, that is going to give a charge, Robert, get this, in 10 minutes, this is what Toyota is claiming, a charge of up to about 745 miles, you will be able to charge your vehicle in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Now, this is going to revolutionize the car industry, because if you're able to charge your car in 10 minutes with a range of 745 miles, I'm sorry, but boy, there's not going to be a lot of need for fossil fuels that much longer.
Right.
This is a really interesting story because, you know, I think we really need to watch this and evolve and see how this evolves. But like we talked about before, Robert, with your pocket calculator and how that was there, and it just gets the technology just keeps getting better and better. So, I applaud Toyota for doing this, because this is going to revolutionize the car industry and obviously put an end to that's probably going to be the death knell for fossil fuels.
Yeah, let's hope so. You know, we have to, you know, the politicians have to make sure that they tax tax people for the sun or the water or whatever they're going to use on their on their hybrid cars, and we have to really stay on top of things so we don't get taxed to death on these things too. That the sunlight's free, and we already know that water is now on Wall Street's commodities, and so we have to be careful.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about that here down here. There, I was on a panel and. You know, one of my things was, I don't know. I mean, you know, because they're like, what do we use as collateral for all these loans? And, you know, and so they're getting all deep in the woods on it. And I'm like, can we really put a price on our, like, life? Can we really put a price on the planet? Can we really put a price on, like, our kids' future? I'm sorry, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to, like, make sure that if the future generation has the ability to, you know, to live and thrive, and because they have just as much as right as we have had to do it too. And I think that this should be a priority, irregardless of whatever collateral that we're going to need to make sure that that works. And so, by the way, I got an applause on that. People like that. So, but, you know, but it is true though, Robert, like we really do need to think about this and how we're going to justify it. And like I said, I totally get it, but I just want us to start keep on thinking about the practical sense from, you know, what can we really put a price on the planet and exactly. Natural resources. So yeah,
Well, we only got a minute left, but Robert, I know they have got a red alert. The country's the government, the world government, they have a red alert going on here for the planet.
Yep. Real quickly, President Biden yesterday just doubled down on electric vehicles for the country. So he's making this a huge priority now for our country moving forward. So I applaud Mr. Biden. And the Solar Bear is supporting President Biden for re-election.
Right on. Right on. Keep saying it. Hey, thanks, Robert. This has been Native Roots Radio, and that's been Robert Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
You are listening to 93.5
The Tap. WCFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.